If you've been here recently in this year, we are on part 18 of our series, Supernatural. Somebody say, Supernatural. Oh my goodness, we're going through the book of Acts in this entire year. It's been powerful, it's been fun. We've never done anything like this before, and but I think it's so important to just take our time through the Word of God and really pull out some truth here. And I have a message for us today as we find ourselves in Acts chapter 12. There's some of you that are in the room that are stuck between a rock and a hard place. There's some of you that are dealing with some things that you don't have the answers to. And instead of being stuck between a rock and a hard place, I believe that God wants to put you between prayer and peace this morning. He wants to give you the opportunity to get between prayer and peace and see what he could do in your life. Let me tell you, we get to this story of Peter in prison, and he's actually, it says he's sleeping between two soldiers, and he's stuck, and he can't get out. But man, God wants to provide an opportunity for you to be between prayer and peace today. So let's get to the word, and then we'll pray. Acts 12, 1 through 5, it says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Come on, let's pray. Father, I ask that you would open our eyes, our ears, hearts, and our minds to receive the word of the Lord today. For someone who's stuck, feels like they're in prison in their mind and their heart, dealing with some things that maybe they feel like are out of their control, they're hopeless today. God, I pray that you would bring hope to the hopeless. In Jesus' name, someone said, amen. Amen. So we get to this passage. James is killed, and this is actually the first disciple of Jesus to be killed. Now, we have Stephen, who was the real first martyr of the Christian church that was killed, but this is the first original disciple of Jesus to actually be killed. And this is a big deal. This is really tough for the people of God. This is tough for these new Christians that have been spreading the word of God, and it's been amazing, but now they're at this point where they're like, oh my goodness, James has been killed and Peter is now in prison. What are we going to do? And it says, what was the church's response? It says that they earnestly prayed for Peter. But it would be so easy to be discouraged, would it not? James has just been beheaded. He's just been killed. They took his head. They're about to take Peter's. It would be so easy to say, you know what? There's nothing we can do now. It's out of our hands at this point. It's over. There's nothing we can do. There's no hope. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But let me tell you, and let me encourage somebody in this place today, prayer works. Amen? Prayer is powerful. And the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Listen, I believe that the church of Jesus Christ, when we pray together, that things change. Amen? We got to be a praying church. The Word of God says, my house shall be a house of prayer. Not just a house of worship, not just a house of the word, not just a house of coming in and drinking some good coffee and having community and all this stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with any of those things. We need all that. Come on, I need some coffee in the name of Jesus. Come on. But this house ultimately is a house of prayer where we connect with the heart of the Father and he connects with our hearts as well. The church has no idea how Peter is doing though. They have no clue. Peter has no idea that they're praying for him. They didn't have social media. They didn't have Twitter, now known as X, okay? They weren't able to tweet out and be like, oh, pray for Peter, hashtag pray for Peter. You know, they didn't have that, oh, hashtag Herod, horrible, he stinks. You know, like, we hate Herod. We all need to have a prayer chain, get together at this place. They didn't have any of that. Peter has no idea that they're praying for him. They don't even know that Peter's even alive at this point. But you have to pray by faith, amen? Knowing that God listens, knowing that he responds, knowing that he hears his people when they pray. Acts 12:6, it says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Someone say two soldiers. Bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He's got 16. It said there was four squads of four men. Come on now, do your math. 16, all right? So we had 16 dudes that were guarding this guy. But listen, what would be the natural thing for you and I to do if you know that your buddy has just been killed, you are now in the same chains that he was probably in, okay? You're in between these two soldiers. Would you be asleep or would you be up with your eyes wide open, being like anxious, worried, nervous? I would not be sleeping at all that night. That would be insomnia times 1 billion, okay? I would even be up pacing around just with these chains being like, Lord, get me out of here. Oh, Lord Jesus, what am I going to do? How have I gotten this place? Lord, where are you? What are you doing? Why am I even in this place right now? What is going on? No, he's sleeping. He's just chilling. I think, how was he able to do that? When I was reading this passage, I was reminded, and I had this revelation. I wonder if Peter, in that moment, was reminded of a time when Jesus was sleeping in the middle of a storm around him. You remember the story, Jesus in the boat, the disciples, the storm comes. It's raging all around them. Oh my goodness, it doesn't look good for them. Water's coming in the boat. And they're taking on water and they're trying to get the water out. They're like, come on, do everything that we know to do. We gotta get the water out. We gotta try to get out of this storm. We gotta hit the waves at the right angle so we don't topple over. Jesus, where is Jesus? Anybody know where Jesus is? And they find Jesus. Where is he at? He's down in the boat sleeping. And it says, with his head on a pillow. I love that the Bible puts that in there for us. His head was on a pillow. Not only was he sleeping, but his sleep mattress, like his sleep number mattress was like set perfectly. You know what I mean? He had the memory foam. He was good to go. He was comfy. He's feeling good. He's straight chilling down in the boat. The disciples wake him up. We're about to die. Do you not care about us at all? He gets up, comes to the top of the boat, tells the wind and the waves to be quiet, and the whole storm stops. And he says this, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you have no faith? Jesus slept in the storm. How was he able to do that? Because no matter what his circumstances looked like, he had peace within him. Amen? Oh my goodness. He slept with the world raging around him. Peter slept in prison between two soldiers. And I think that the word that God gave me today is that some of you need to learn how to sleep between two soldiers. Some of you need to learn to have peace when you're in between a rock and a hard place. It looks like there's no way out. Your situation, there's no hope on the horizon. The devil is at your doorway. It seems like there's no way out. But when you have the peace that surpasses all understanding, when you have an unreasonable faith in God, that he is able to do more than you can ask, think, or imagine, that we serve the God of peace. Oh my goodness. We serve a powerful God, man. You're able to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, and you will be able to sleep between two soldiers. Acts 12:6, it says, we're going to read it again. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. That was supposed to be a Z, two chains. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. All the sinners said, amen, Pastor, what's up? Sentries stood guard at the entrance. Luke makes sure to tell us that this place is heavily guarded. He adds that detail in there. Four squads, 16 men, sleeping between two soldiers, has two chains on his hands, men at the entrance, and then we'll find here in a second, there's a first guard, a second guard. They probably go through the courtyard. There's an iron gate that then they have to get through. This place is locked up, all right? It's maximum security prison. And I kind of wonder, why is Herod treating Peter like he's some violent criminal? Like, this is how they would treat somebody who was like a murderer. And Peter is just a guy that was preaching about Jesus. Why is he treating him this way? I think it's because Herod was afraid of him. Why is Herod afraid of him? I think it's because he's afraid of what Peter carries in him. What does Peter carry in him? He carries the message of Jesus Christ. Come on now. When he preached, people listened. When he preached, people got saved. When he preached, the power structures that be were coming down. Man, and Jesus was being elevated, and Herod was prideful, and he didn't like it. He knew that Peter and these Christians were gaining a whole lot of power. They were gaining a lot of authority. People were listening to them. And he said, man, I'm afraid of what this man carries. Ultimately, what did Peter have within him? He had the Holy Spirit of God flowing in him and through him. He had Jesus leading the way, the Holy Spirit guiding his every step into truth and into righteousness. Man, he had God on his side, and Herod was nervous. He didn't like it. It says in Acts 12:7, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. I love this, first off. I think it's hilarious. This is the only time that I can, Jacob wrestled with an angel, I suppose, but there's this time where you got to imagine this angel comes in. He is dead asleep, right? He's in between these two soldiers, and the angel just comes in, and the word that's used is definitely, hey, he hits him pretty good, you know? Angel just, hey, get up, man. Get up. Fuck up. I'm just imagining an angel being like, come on, we gotta get out of here, man. And he's like, oh my gosh, like, who are you? And he's like, shut up, don't worry about it, let's go, you know, like, quit asking questions, man. He says, quick, get up. And the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. Oh, that's good. Why? Because we know that God is a chain breaker, is he not? God breaks the chains. We are not subject to slavery and bondage anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. We have been set free. The Bible says, he who is free what? Indeed. It doesn't matter how much the devil has got you locked up. It doesn't matter how much he's tried to put you in between a rock and a hard place. God can deliver you. The situation you're in looks hopeless, but we serve the living hope of Jesus Christ. Amen. We serve a God who is able. We serve a God who is bigger, who's stronger, who is the solution to your every problem. God can make a way when there is no way. When Abraham took Isaac up onto the mountain and he was supposed to sacrifice Isaac, what did God do? He provided another way. He provided a sacrifice. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In the middle of the two mountains, in between the mountains on either side, and they look so huge. I'm in this deep valley. I'm in this dark place. I can have peace because God is with me, and I believe that he's going to make another way. Somebody say amen. Amen. When Moses and the Israelites are fleeing away from Egypt, they got all the people. There's like a million of them. It's wild. We don't know how many, but we know that there was a lot of people. They're fleeing away from Pharaoh, and they come to the Red Sea, and God made a way where? In between the waves. They come to this dead end, though, but there's no hope. And it looks like to them, they have option A, which is to turn around and be like, oh, we're so sorry. We should not have ran away like that. We see that we have come to this Red Sea here, and we are not able to proceed. So we are so sorry. Please don't kill us. We will go right back into slavery. That's option A. Option B is we turn around and fight. But we don't serve a God that sees things the way that we see it. His ways are higher than ours. His plans are better than ours. And his was option C, which is through the sea. Come on now. He had a different way and a different option. And they didn't see it. But God has so much better plans for you than you can even see on your own right now. Oh my goodness. Acts 12, 8 through 9. The angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. He said, you look ridiculous. You're naked, bro. Put on your clothes. I don't want you going out of here looking all raggedy like that. Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Modesty. Amen. The angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was having a vision. You ever been so tired that you're half asleep, half awake? Come on, you ever been there before? I know I have. I used to have these weird kind of like, I would like think somebody was in the room and they really weren't there. It was very, very odd. I would have those kind of half awake, half asleep moments. And one time, Oakland, my son, he's 5. I think he was probably 3, 3 and a half maybe at the time when this happened. But he was having kind of a bad night. His legs had been hurting really bad. And I think he was sick. And so I was up laying in his room with him. And he kind of has this, you know, if you've had kids, you know, sometimes they have that in between awake and asleep. And you're not sure, like, should I go ahead and just fully wake you up or Should I just pray that you go back to sleep? You know, like, what do I do here? So anyway, he said, I gotta go potty. So I'm like, all right, okay. And so he kind of gets out of the bed and stumbles over there, and I'm laying in bed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been up all night. And so I'm kind of finally getting out after him. And then I hear a sound. But it's the sound of him going potty, but not hitting water, okay? He had gotten to the bathroom door, and that's as far as he made it. And so he's just there taking a whiz right on the door, y'all. And so I come out, I'm like, no, I'm gonna die, you know? Oh my gosh, all right, I guess just go ahead and, you know, just finish up, son. Like, I mean, I'll clean it up later. I'm just gonna get you back to sleep. Yeah, all the parents, you know what I'm talking about. But man, he's half asleep, half awake, and I just, you know, Peter's stumbling around the prison. He's putting his shoes on or whatever, and, you know, putting his sandals on, his clothes. The angel's kind of being a little aggressive at him, you know, like, come on, put your cloak on. He's like, geez, why are you being so aggressive, man? I'm just trying to get out of here, you know? He thinks he's in a vision, but it's actually happening. Acts 12:10, they passed the first and second guards. They came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. So it says, they got out ahead of all those 16 guards, from the first, the second guard, and all these other people that were probably in the way. They get through the courtyard, they get to this iron gate. And then the angel, it says they walk one street length together, and then the angel leaves. It was at that point that the angel leaves him. And I have something I really want you to lean in here today. If you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to hear me today. God won't break you out of your cell to just leave you in the courtyard. God won't break you out of your cell and leave you in the courtyard of the prison that you have been in. Let me tell you, God does not want you to be halfway free today. God wants you to be fully free, completely free. He who is set free is free indeed. We are no longer slaves to sin. I am not in bondage. I don't have chains on me anymore. I'm not going to stay halfway free. Man, you might be dealing with an addiction and you're like, listen, I'm halfway free. No, not today. Let's get fully free in the name of Jesus Christ today. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That God finishes what he starts. He doesn't get you halfway free. He will get you all the way out of that prison. He will walk you down the street, and then you can look back at that prison and say, look where I used to be, but I'm not there anymore. Man, look what my life was like. Look at the prison that the devil had me in. But man, I am set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody give him praise today. Man, he didn't stop on day three of creation. He stopped day three of creation and be like, you know, honestly, like, who needs the animals? Mosquitoes? No one needs them anyway, right? Why do we got to make them? Honestly, sometimes I wish you would have stopped right there. You know what I mean? Day three, you know, mosquitoes, they don't like them at all. And God didn't drop the waters of the Red Sea until every last one of them Israelites was all the way through. You ever think about that? I just imagine there's like hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of God's people walking through in the in-between, right? Getting all the way through. And then when the little Israelite boy takes his first step onto the other side, boom, that's when the waters come crashing down on the enemy. God is not going to start something that he will not finish. He will see it through the right way. Listen, Jesus didn't get on the cross and say, nope, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Even though they were making fun of him and they said that he should have done that, they said, hey, if you are the Son of God, right? This is what it says. If you are the Son of God, then why don't you call your angels down from heaven to get you down from here? They're making fun of him. They're poking at him. Listen, he saw it all the way through to the end. He was on that cross for you. He bled for you. He cried for you. He had nails in his hand, nails in his feet, and he felt every single bit of that pain. And Jesus persevered to the bitter end. And when he got to the very end, he cried out in a loud voice, and he said this sentence. What did he say? He said, it is what? Finished. Jesus finishes what he starts. And what he started in you and the freedom he started in you, he wants to finish and complete in you today. Do not settle for anything less than full freedom in Jesus Christ. We say, well, I'm doing a lot better, but I'm still struggling. Get out of the courtyard. Jesus didn't die for you to be halfway free. And I understand it's hard. I get it. But we got to take hold of the hand of Jesus and let him lead us out. We got to walk all the way with him. I'm still filled with guilt from my past. Get out of the courtyard. I'm still dealing with that addiction. Man, get out of the courtyard. Follow Jesus out of the courtyard and get free today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to read the rest of this. Acts 12:11. Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." Man, we serve a God who rescues us. Amen? That's good. God is a God who rescues. He's a refuge for us in our time of trouble, in our time of need. That's what David writes. He is my refuge. He is my what? Strength. Man, I go to God when I need help. I don't trust in my own ways. I don't lean on my own understanding. But man, I'm going to God when I need help because I know he is the solution to every problem I have. Verse 12, when it dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. What is the church doing right now? What are they doing? They're praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." Yeah, okay, thanks, Rhoda. That doesn't really help. Let me in, woman. Here we go. Please help me. "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Listen, when the church prays, God listens. When the church prays, God responds. When the church prays, bodies are healed. When the church of Jesus Christ prays, man, I believe that lives are transformed. Amen? When the church of Jesus Christ prays, lives are changed and prisoners are set free. Chains are broken in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is prayer that unlocks prisons in our lives. It's prayer that does it. And it has to be the church. We got to get together and say, you know what? There's some people that are stuck in prisons, whether it's emotional, spiritual. Man, it might be physical. There might be some people that, man, hey, listen, they're really, really stuck in this place. And they've been so addicted and in this bad place. And man, they found themselves in prison. There was a dude sitting here in first service that's been to prison more times than he could even tell you. And yet he's sitting in church today, free by Jesus Christ this morning. Oh my goodness. It's incredible what God can do, is it not? Amen? But what if they never prayed? What happens if they don't pray? Does Peter still get out? That's a great question. We could ask the Lord one day. James is killed. Okay, let's put ourselves not in Peter's shoes anymore, because he was between a rock and a hard place. He was between the two soldiers. He had peace, though. Let's put ourselves in the position of the people at the house praying now, okay? James was just killed, struggling with that, they were still at the house mourning the loss of James while they're praying for Peter. In that moment, it would be so hard to pray with faith that God was going to get Peter out of there. But they kept praying, didn't they? And they kept believing, even with a fractured faith. Even with the sadness of yesterday, they still had hope for tomorrow. Don't stop praying, guys. I just want to encourage somebody, don't stop praying for that person. Don't stop praying for that situation in your life. Don't stop praying, because your faith might be shaken because of what you have seen happen yesterday, but it doesn't define what's going to happen today and tomorrow. God is still a God who rescues. Even when someone doesn't get rescued, we can ask the question all day long, well, God, why didn't you save this person? Why didn't you show up here? Why did you not do this? And man, God, where are you? What are you doing right now? And I imagine that some people in that room are probably praying that way. God, I miss James. I wish he was here. he should be here praying for Peter right now, and he's gone, and I'm just getting over this, and now I'm trying to pray for Peter right now. God, you're going to have to help me right now. Listen, James may have died yesterday, but God, that doesn't mean I won't pray hard for Peter today. You might have lost somebody that you love in your life yesterday. But listen, I encourage you to pray hard for healing for somebody else today. They may have walked away from the Lord yesterday, but I don't want you to stop praying for their salvation today because you don't know what's coming tomorrow. I may have failed yesterday. I may have messed up, but I'm not going to stop praying for my today and for my tomorrow. God wants you to have faith for the next one. He wants to restore your faith. He wants to restore you. And maybe the people in the house, here's the deal. They were also in between a rock and a hard place. They were being persecuted. James had just died. And yet they were also praying hard for Peter. My goodness. There's two people here today as we close, and I want to have some time for response. The first person is you're a Peter. And you are in a tough situation. You're the one that is sleeping between the two guards, and you have a situation that looks hopeless, and you don't feel like you have a way out. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place, imprisoned in your mind, imprisoned in your spiritual life. Maybe it seems hopeless, but listen, God wants to have a jailbreak here today at Radical Church. Amen. God wants to break you out of prison. He wants to get you free today. And let me tell you, we are going to walk you out of this place today differently than you came in. You might be in here right now with chains on your hands, but you will walk out of here by the Spirit of God, free in the name of Jesus, with no chains on you. Come on. You ain't going to have two chains. You're going to be free in the name of Jesus today. Come on now. And then the second person that's here and the second group, I would say, is the church that's in the house. It's the church. It's the people that are praying for the Peter. Even when yesterday didn't go your way, man, I need you to step up today and pray for Peter. So I want you to stand up with me. We're going to have some time. We're going to sing this song. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Amen. We're going to sing this song here in a moment, but I want us to be the church for a moment and to pray for the Peters that are in the room, for the Peters that are going through a hard time, for those people that are dealing with something really difficult in their life. And if that's you, I just want to know who we're praying for today. We want to pray along with you. So if you need a physical healing in your body, and the prayer team, you guys can go ahead and come on up. If you're here, come across the front. We'll have some people here ready to pray for you. And I want you to have this available, but I also want the church to be the church today as well. So if that's you and you're going through something really hard, you need a miracle in your life of healing or of finances, or you're just struggling with whatever it is and you feel like there's no way out, there's no hope. And man, God, I need you to show up. I'm up all night with anxiety because of what's going on. And you don't have that peace like Jesus had. You don't have that peace like Peter had, where he was able to sleep in the middle of it. And maybe you have insomnia because of it. And there's people I know in this room that you stay up all night thinking about the difficult things that you're dealing with right now. I don't know who that is, but if that's you, would you raise your hand at me? I just want to see you know who we're praying for today. You say, hey, I'm going through a hard time and I need some prayer. I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. Come on, raise your hand high. I want to see you today. Come on, I see you all over this place. There's people raising their hand. Amazing, amazing, amazing. All right, I want everybody to look around. Keep your hands up, please. If you do not have your hand up, guess who you are today? You are the church in the house praying for the people with their hands up, Peter, all right? So I want you in this place, if you do not have your hand up, to go to somebody that has their hand up, and you're going to put your hand on their shoulder, and you're going to say, hey, listen, I got you. I'm praying for you today. When somebody puts their hand on your shoulder, you can put your hand down. But I want two or three people with every single person across this space. We're going to pray together. Keep your hand up until you have somebody. Guys, go ahead, move out of the aisle. Find somebody to pray with. This is what the church looks like. We pray for each other. We believe for each other. We have faith for one another. Even if you're going through a hard time, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Man, you pray for somebody else. Don't worry about your yesterday. We're praying for today and we're praying for tomorrow. Let's have some faith that God rescues, that God delivers. And come on, we're going to sing this song. If you're out in the crowd, you just want to worship, man, let's sing this out together. There is power. There's another group in here today that I want to talk to. And that's the group of you that maybe have not given your life to Jesus yet. And you're still stuck in the prison of sin and you're not living your life for God. And man, you know it. And you know you need to get right with God today. You know that today is the day that you're going to be set free. That the old man is gone. Just like we celebrated in baptisms, y'all. The old man is gone and the new man comes. An old woman is gone. The new woman will come today, right here, right now. Jesus is here and he wants to set somebody free. And so every head bowed, every eye closed, man, I just want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus today, to give your life to him. He will change your life forever, man. He loves you. He cares for you. He loves his kids. He's here. I felt his presence all morning, all last night as I was going over this and preparing, and this morning I've just felt that God wants to set somebody free. And maybe that person is you, and all you have to do is recognize, hey, I'm a sinner, man, I haven't been living for God, but you know what? I'm going to make Jesus a priority today, right here, right now. I'm going to make him number one in my life. Not me, not my job, not the world's pleasures, not finances. No, listen, I'm going to make Jesus number one today. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the solutions, but listen, you don't have to. You just have to have faith and trust in Jesus that he is the solution. And so let me encourage you to say yes to him today. And then I'm going to pray with you. If that's you, on the count of three, would you raise your hand and just look up at me? I want to know who I'm praying with. One, two, three. I already see you raising your hand. Come on, I see you right here. I see you guys in the back. Come on, yes, absolutely. A whole row. Look at that. Wow, amazing. Come on. Hey, I see you guys. This is great. Come on now. I see you for sure. This is amazing. You can put your hands down when I see you. Anybody else, if we haven't locked eyes, I just want to lock eyes with you. I want to make sure that I've seen you, okay? So I know who I'm praying with today. All right, beautiful. Come on, I see you, sweet pea. Come on now. I think we had about 12 people that raised their hand that I counted anyway, saying, yeah, come on, let's give God praise for that. Going from death to life, that's beautiful. Hey, I'm going to pray for every single one of you, and I'm going to pray for those people today. And man, I want to encourage you to live your life for Jesus. Man, he's going to break some of y'all out of prison today, right now. Father, break the chains and the yoke of bondage of sin in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare people are set free right now from sin, from darkness, from fear. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind, God. I ask for mental health restored. I ask for bodies and physical bodies to be restored right now. Lord Jesus, I ask for marriages to be restored, for relationships restored. God, I pray that that alcohol addiction is gone, that that drug addiction is gone in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I pray it's not just about our behavior and changing in that way, but it's about having an encounter with the God who loves us. It's about the Father's heart who reaches out to us and says, you know, even in the middle of your junk, even in the middle of your sin and your opposition to me, I still love you and I want you to be in my family. And so, God, I thank you for your heart for us and your love for us. I pray for those people that have said yes to you. Encourage them in their faith today. Maybe it's the first time they've said yes. Maybe they're rededicating their life. Lord, I don't know their story, but you do. You know their heart. You know their desires. You know their deepest, most desires. You know the thoughts that they have. You know the struggles they go through. And so, God, I ask that even though they might feel that they're in the middle of two soldiers, they might be in the middle of a rock and a hard place, that God, that you can deliver us through to the other side. We might not have a way out, but God, you're going to take us right through. You said, Father, I just have this picture of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We didn't get out of it. We didn't go out the side of it. We walked right through it. And you brought us through the other side. You were right there with us the whole time. Those waves that were up on the side of them as they walked through the Red Sea, Father, they had to walk through it still. They had to get to the other side. The boat that Jesus was sleeping in, the boat the disciples were in, he didn't just pick them up and take the boat and put it on the other side. They still had to get through the waves. They still had to get to the other side. So God, I pray that you'd help somebody have the perseverance, have the endurance to get to the other side, not in their own strength, but in yours. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we seal this word today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise this morning.